Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a historical review of Turks and Caicos, A Journey Through Time. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1, The Cradle of the Islands. Beneath the turquoise waves of the Caribbean Sea lies a story etched in coral and stone, a tale millions of years in the making. The Turks and Caicos Islands, an archipelago of breathtaking beauty, emerged from the ocean's depths through a complex dance of geological forces. These islands, composed largely of limestone and coral, owe their existence to the patient work of nature's most unyielding architects, time and the sea. Long before human eyes beheld their shores, the islands were sculpted by tectonic shifts and rising seas. The vast underwater plateau, known as the Turks and Caicos Bank, served as the foundation for this masterpiece. Over millennia, coral polyps built reefs that flourished in the warm, shallow waters. These reefs, growing atop the remnants of ancient seabeds, gave birth to the islands that now break the horizon with their white sand and verdant interiors. Yet, the beauty of the Turks and Caicos concealed its fragility. Subjected to the relentless forces of hurricanes and tides, the islands were constantly reshaped, a testament to nature's power and adaptability. Over time, a unique ecosystem emerged, where mangroves and seagrass meadows formed sanctuaries for marine life, and rare species like the rock iguana and flamingo found refuge. This was a world balanced on the edge of survival, thriving against all odds. The first footsteps. The story of the Turks and Caicos begins not with the arrival of European explorers, but with the Lucayans, an indigenous people whose legacy is intertwined with the island's early history. Around 500 AD, these seafaring people arrived from the Greater Antilles, guided by the stars and driven by the promise of new lands. They brought with them a sophisticated understanding of navigation and survival, honed over generations of living in harmony with the sea. The Lucayans called these islands home, naming them Guanahani in their native tongue. They built their lives around the bounty of the ocean, fishing its waters and harvesting conch, a staple of their diet. On land, they cultivated cassava and other crops in the thin, sandy soil, demonstrating remarkable ingenuity in adapting to their environment. Their villages, marked by thatched roof huts and communal spaces, were hubs of social and spiritual life. Central to Lucayan culture was their spirituality. They revered the natural world, believing it to be imbued with the spirits of their ancestors. Ceremonial sites dotted the islands, where they offered prayers and conducted rituals to ensure harmony with the forces of nature. Artifacts such as pottery, tools, and ceremonial objects, discovered in caves and underwater sites, provide glimpses into their vibrant culture. A fragile Eden. For centuries, the Lucayans lived in relative isolation, their peaceful existence undisturbed by the outside world. They thrived in what many would describe as a fragile Eden, a delicate balance between human needs and natural abundance. The islands were a haven of tranquility, where the rhythm of life was dictated by the tides and the changing seasons. However, this paradise was not without its challenges. The Lucayans faced the ever-present threat of hurricanes, which could decimate their settlements and crops in a single day. Despite these adversities, they demonstrated resilience, rebuilding their lives with each passing storm. The dawn of change. As the sun set on the Lucayan era of isolation, an ominous new chapter loomed on the horizon. In 1492, Christopher Columbus set sail on a voyage that would change the fate of the New World forever. Though he likely passed near the Turks and Caicos during his first expedition, it was subsequent European explorers who brought irreversible change to the islands. With their arrival came not only new opportunities, but also devastating consequences for the Lucayans, whose story will continue in the next chapter. The first chapter of Turks and Caicos history is one of creation, resilience, and harmony. It is a story written by nature and nurtured by the Lucayans, who understood the beauty and fragility of their home. As we turn the page to the arrival of foreign sails and new ambitions, the echoes of this ancient past remind us of a time when the islands were untouched jewels in the vast Caribbean Sea. Chapter 2, The European Encounter. The tranquil isolation of the Turks and Caicos Islands came to an abrupt end with the arrival of European explorers in the late 15th century. Although Christopher Columbus himself may not have landed on these shores during his famous voyage of 1492, the ripples of his journey brought profound changes to the region. For the Lucayans, the first inhabitants of the islands, this marked the beginning of a tragic and irreversible transformation. Columbus' legacy and first contact. Christopher Columbus's voyages to the New World sparked an era of exploration and conquest. Following his initial expedition, Spanish explorers ventured into the Bahamas and surrounding areas, including the Turks and Caicos. These early explorers were driven by tales of wealth and a desire for new trade routes, their ships cutting through waters that had only known the canoes of the Lucayans. Though accounts remain unclear, it is believed that Spanish ships first set anchor near the islands in the early 16th century. What they found were thriving Lucayan communities, whose members greeted these foreign visitors with curiosity and hospitality. However, the Spaniards saw the Lucayans not as equals, but as laborers for their growing colonial empire. The island's strategic location made them a valuable stepping stone for Spanish expeditions to the Americas. The enslavement of the Lucayans. The arrival of Europeans heralded the swift decline of the Lucayan population. Under Spanish rule, thousands of Lucayans were forcibly taken from the Turks and Caicos and neighboring islands to work in gold mines and plantations in Hispaniola and Cuba. The Lucayans, unaccustomed to the harsh conditions of forced labor, succumbed to overwork, disease, and despair. Within a generation, their communities were decimated, and the islands fell silent, their shores now devoid of the vibrant life they once harbored. By the mid-1500s, the Lucayans were all but extinct. Their pottery and tools, left behind in caves and buried under sand, became the sole remnants of a culture that had thrived for centuries. The once peaceful islands now stood as barren outposts, caught in the wake of European exploitation. Pirates and privateers. With the Lucayans gone, the Turks and Caicos became a no-man's land, frequented only by passing ships. The island's shallow waters and hidden coves proved irresistible to pirates and privateers during the 17th century. These sea raiders, driven by the lure of treasure-laden galleons traversing the Caribbean, transformed the islands into a den of intrigue and lawlessness. Pirates like Calico Jack and Bonnie are rumored to have used the islands as hideouts, their ships anchored in the sheltered waters while they plotted their next raids. Stories of buried treasure and hidden loot became part of the folklore, giving the islands an air of mystery. Meanwhile, European powers turned a blind eye to these activities, as the pirates often targeted rival nations' ships. The battle for control. By the late 17th century, the strategic importance of the Turks and Caicos began to draw the attention of colonial powers. Spain, Britain, and France all vied for control of the Caribbean, recognizing the island's potential as a waypoint for trade and military operations. Skirmishes broke out among these nations, with each laying claim to the territory. The Treaty of Madrid in 1670 saw Spain formally cede its claim to the Turks and Caicos, but this did little to bring stability to the region. British settlers from Bermuda began to arrive, establishing a foothold on the islands and setting the stage for a new era of colonization. The stage was now set for the Turks and Caicos to emerge as a contested and valuable part of the colonial Caribbean. A changed world. As European sails became a common sight on the horizon, the island's identity began to shift. The Lucayans, who had once been the sole stewards of these lands, were now a memory, their way of life erased by the tides of history. In their place came new settlers, new ambitions, and new conflicts, forever altering the destiny of the Turks and Caicos. This chapter of history is marked by loss and transformation, a reminder of the fragility of cultures in the face of conquest. The legacy of this era endures in the stories of resistance and survival that continue to define the spirit of the Caribbean. As we move forward, the narrative shifts to the rise of colonization and the salt industry, which would bring both prosperity and hardship to the islands. Chapter 3: The Pirate's Paradise. As the 17th century unfolded, the Turks and Caicos Islands found themselves at the center of a new and turbulent era, one dominated by the golden age of piracy. The isolated nature of the archipelago, coupled with its labyrinth of hidden coves and shallow waters, made it a perfect refuge for seafarers who lived beyond the bounds of law and order. For decades, the islands bore witness to the rise and fall of some of the most infamous pirates in history, their legends woven into the fabric of the Caribbean's lore. A haven for outlaws. The island's geography made them an irresistible hideout for pirates and privateers. With few permanent settlements and a lack of colonial governance, the Turks and Caicos offered the perfect base for raiders targeting the heavily trafficked shipping lanes of the Caribbean. Spanish treasure fleets, laden with gold and silver from the Americas, became the primary targets of these ruthless marauders. Pirates like Edward Blackbeard, Teach, and Calico Jack Rackham are said to have used the islands as strategic waypoints, anchoring their ships in the sheltered waters while repairing vessels, planning attacks, or dividing spoils. The absence of naval patrols allowed these outlaws to operate with impunity, and the island's seclusion ensured their activities remained hidden from colonial authorities. Life among the pirates. Life in these pirate enclaves was both brutal and intoxicatingly free. Crews operated under a strict code of conduct, often more democratic than the societies they opposed. Decisions were made collectively, with captains elected by their crews and plunder divided according to agreed-upon shares. This egalitarian structure drew men and a few women from diverse backgrounds, former sailors, escaped slaves, and opportunists seeking wealth and adventure. Despite their notoriety, pirates often maintained complex relationships with local settlers and indigenous communities. Some traded stolen goods for food and supplies, while others offered protection in exchange for sanctuary. These uneasy alliances allowed piracy to thrive in the region, even as European powers sought to eliminate it. The Age of Privateers. Not all who prowled the Caribbean were outlaws in the traditional sense. Privateers, essentially state-sanctioned pirates, played a significant role in the power struggles between European empires. Armed with letters of marque, these individuals were authorized to attack and plunder enemy ships on behalf of their governments. During the Anglo-Spanish Wars of the late 17th and early 18th centuries, privateers operating from the Bahamas and nearby islands used the Turks and Caicos as staging grounds for their raids. These ventures blurred the lines between legitimate warfare and outright piracy, with many privateers continuing their exploits long after their commissions had expired. The decline of piracy. The golden age of piracy reached its zenith in the early 18th century, but was soon met with relentless suppression. By the 1720s, European powers had begun to crack down on piracy with unprecedented force. Naval patrols increased, pirate havens were dismantled, and captured pirates were hanged as warnings to others. The establishment of colonial settlements in the Turks and Caicos further diminished the island's appeal as a sanctuary. Yet, the legacy of this era endured. Tales of buried treasure and ghostly ships continued to capture the imagination of future generations. The stories of pirates who once roamed these shores became a vital part of the Caribbean's cultural heritage, immortalized in song, literature, and folklore. A new chapter. As the age of piracy faded into history, the Turks and Caicos began to attract a different kind of settler. Bermudian salt rakers, drawn by the island's abundant natural salt ponds, arrived to establish a new economy based on the trade of this vital commodity. This marked the beginning of a new era, one defined by industry and colonial ambition. The transition from a lawless pirate haven to a burgeoning economic hub was far from seamless. The echoes of the pirate age lingered in the form of smuggling and resistance to authority, shaping the island's character for generations to come. As we turn to the next chapter, we will explore how the salt industry transformed the Turks and Caicos into a critical player in the Atlantic trade network, bringing both prosperity and exploitation to its shores. Chapter 4, Colonization and Contest. As the echoes of pirate shanties faded, the Turks and Caicos Islands became a focal point of colonial ambition in the Caribbean. The 17th and 18th centuries marked a period of intense rivalry among European powers, each vying for control over the lucrative territories of the New World. For the Turks and Caicos, this era was defined by strategic significance, economic potential, and the struggle to assert sovereignty over its shores. The strategic prize. The Turks and Caicos Archipelago, with its proximity to major shipping routes, was highly coveted by Spain, Britain, and France. Its location made it a critical waypoint for vessels navigating between Europe and the Americas, and its natural resources promised economic opportunity. The island's salt ponds, in particular, held immense value as salt was essential for preserving food during long sea voyages. In the late 1600s, Bermudians were among the first to recognize the potential of the island's salt resources. These settlers began harvesting salt from the natural ponds, establishing a seasonal presence on the islands. Their efforts did not go unnoticed, and other colonial powers soon sought to stake their claims. The struggle for dominance. The early 18th century saw the Turks and Caicos change hands several times as Spain, Britain, and France battled for control of the region. Skirmishes erupted on land and sea, with each nation asserting its dominance through treaties, trade agreements, and military force. The Treaty of Madrid in 1670 initially granted Spain nominal control over the Turks and Caicos, but Spain's waning influence left a power vacuum that Britain and France sought to fill. Bermudian salt rakers, under the protection of the British crown, established semi-permanent settlements, further solidifying Britain's claim to the islands. France, meanwhile, launched sporadic raids to disrupt British activities, creating a volatile and contested environment. The rise of the salt industry. By the mid-1700s, the salt industry became the driving force behind the island's economy. Bermudian settlers developed a system of salt production that relied on evaporating seawater in large shallow pans. The labor-intensive process required a steady workforce, and enslaved Africans were brought to the islands to meet the demand. The salt trade connected the Turks and Caicos to a broader network of Atlantic commerce. Salt from the islands was shipped to North America and Europe, fueling the preservation of meat and fish. This trade brought prosperity to Bermudian merchants, but came at a great cost to the enslaved individuals who toiled under brutal conditions. Life under British rule. In 1766, the Turks and Caicos were formally annexed to the British Crown Colony of the Bahamas. This administrative shift aimed to provide greater oversight of the island's burgeoning economy and protect them from foreign incursions. However, the distance between the islands and the Bahamian capital of Nassau created challenges in governance, leading to periods of neglect and local discontent. Enslaved laborers made up the majority of the population during this time, and their lives were marked by hardship and resistance. Despite the oppressive conditions, African cultural traditions persisted, blending with European influences to create a unique Creole identity that would shape the island's heritage. The fight for freedom. The late 18th and early 19th centuries brought significant upheaval to the Caribbean as the abolitionist movement gained momentum. The British Empire's decision to abolish the transatlantic slave trade in 1807 and slavery itself in 1834 had a profound impact on the Turks and Caicos. Formerly enslaved individuals were emancipated, and the island's economy began a slow transition away from reliance on forced labor. A foundation for the future. The colonization of the Turks and Caicos set the stage for its evolution into a vital part of the British Empire. However, this era also left a legacy of exploitation and cultural blending that continues to define the islands today. As the salt industry waned and new economic opportunities emerged, the islands faced the challenge of forging a sustainable path forward. The next chapter will delve into the complexities of the salt trade and its role in shaping the social and economic fabric of the Turks and Caicos. From the lives of enslaved laborers to the fortunes of Bermudian merchants, the story of salt is one of resilience, innovation, and enduring influence.